Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 2nd, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics, page 49, the first paragraph, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, ending with, "Rather vain of us, wasn't it?" Today's readers are Tony B., who will read the text, Kara L., a Vision for You, and Vanessa G. is our backup. Chanel T. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, July 1st, 10:00 A.M. Eastern, is 23,596, and for Thursday, July 2nd, 7:00 A.M. Eastern, is 23,598. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. in Tennessee to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service in July. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda. Next, we'll go to Massachusetts and have Patty F. read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty F. in Massachusetts, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. For us, recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, every man reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for the recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics. Turn to page 49 in the first full paragraph, starting with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, ending with, rather vain of us, wasn't it? And I will now ask the lovely Tony B. to start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Susan. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? Good paragraph. Immediately taken by the word agents, it appears elsewhere in the book. He is the principal, we are his agents, on page 62. He's the father, we're his children. And an agent is somebody who works for someone else and has the employer's interests at heart, puts the client's interests before their own. And I have a mind, I am an intelligent creature, we are intelligent people, and we are supposed to work for God. That's what this is telling me. And the atheist and the agnostic are choosing to believe in a way by not believing that, that's our purpose. Then reading wordy books, trying to explain this amazing creation of the world, you know, by through science. I'm just one among many. And, you know, the principle, as it says on page 62, is like the one that is one, and the agents are many. And we're wonderful human beings. I mean, let's not put ourselves down or sell ourselves short. We are created as God's, as spearheads of God's ever advancing creation. It's really quite amazing. And this program that we suffer to come in here, there's no doubt about that. I suffered a lot to get in here. Now I'm in here and I have this program which allows me to find a relationship with God, and to by keeping in fit spiritual position, I have this purpose, you know, to to be a worker for God, and it's quite amazing. And it says it's rather vain of us to think there's no God. Yeah, and it's kind of it's making me think of kind of flip sides of a coin of pride and ego. But I didn't create the world.
That's time.
Thank you. I'll share the time there. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tony B in Scotland, for getting us going. So in case you came in while Tony was speaking, let me first of all tell you the one paragraph that we are discussing today. Turn your eyes to page 49, the first full paragraph in We Agnostics on that page. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents through to rather vain of us, wasn't it? Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you this morning is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Nicole S.
Nicole, where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Thank you. I know it isn't just me and Nicole here. Who else would like to share? Vanessa, hi. All right, well, we're having a shy morning, so we're going to start with Nicole S, followed by Vanessa G. Nicole, please join us and take it away.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Nicole S, and I'm recovered in Colorado. And I love this paragraph where it talks about the spearhead of God's ever-advancing creation. And I did a mission trip when I was 19 to Papua New Guinea, and I brought a spear and some arrows back. And it makes me think of, with the spear, the tip is very sharp. But if someone were to just use a spearhead, just the tip, there's no power, there's no force behind it, there's no shaft. But with the spear, you know, that's that big long shaft. And I think of it's God. God's the power. I'm just the tip. But with God behind me, you know, I'm very sharp, very effective, and I'm His ever advancing creation. But many times I get it completely wrong. I think, you know, I'm the power behind it. I'm the force behind it. And, you know, I have to remember that my God gave me human intelligence. He gave me gifts. They're all from Him, though. It's not the other way around. And anytime I think that I'm the, you know, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, I'm just being vain. And I'm really out of the order of what it is. So I want to just remember that that I'm that sharp spearhead, and it's letting God be the power behind me and just being his agent. And that for me is all day long, just seeking His will, you know, thy will, not mine be done. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. in Colorado. Next, we're going to New Mexico. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. This is Vanessa G. I am recovered in New Mexico. I kind of want to piggyback off of the lead share, which was really wonderful. Thank you. Really focusing in on this idea of agency. You know, when I was young, I just threw out the whole religious concept of a higher power. You know, the idea didn't make sense to me. There were too many ideas floating around. It just seemed like it was all just a creation of us, of humans. And so then I decided that it was just, you know, to explain some of the unexplainable things, decided that, you know, the human brain was just unimaginable it was, how do I put this, infinite in its power. So I kind of went down this road, and then that didn't work out very well. Didn't work out for me at all. I ended up over 300 pounds in my 20s. When I went on a strict, restrictive diet, I ended up nearly drinking myself to death. And so, you know, that old saying, how's that working for you? It really wasn't. So when I came to recover and listen to others who had recovered, I was able to see that this was a new way of operating. I was to operate as an agent of God, an agent of a higher power. And that meant that I would be able to tap into the power of that higher power, and that I would be working in concert on their behalf. Or it was a completely new way of living, a new way of finding my way through life, of relating to people, to myself, and especially to God. It saved my life. It worked for me. And this book gives exact instructions on how to get there, how to become an agent. You know, we're all always in training, I guess, but being able to act on behalf of this higher power who has given me so much, to be able to see that higher power work in other people as they recover, it's amazing. It is just an amazing thing. If you're new, stay. You will find something here, a completely new way of life that will totally satisfy all of those cravings that you've been trying to find in food. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. All right. So in case you came
Lucia,
in.
Lucia?
Hold on 1 second,
sorry.
Lucia, give me one second. I've got you, but hold on, please. Thank you, because if somebody came in midway, I like to remind people where we are, which is page 49, the first full paragraph, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, and a reminder that every third day of sharing applies to both vision meetings. So, Lucia, what is your last initial and where are you calling from this morning?
Hi, my last initial is D, and I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Amazing. Thank you. And who would like to join Lucia this morning? I feel like I heard somebody trying to come in.
Regina V.
Thank you, Regina. And where are you calling from, Regina?
California.
Thank you. And who's coming in with Regina?
I'm Dolores T. Scottsdale.
Hi, Dolores. I've got
Hi,
you,
there.
No problem. Arizona, got it. We have plenty of time, my lovely humans. Who else would like to share?
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
California.
Thank you, Joan Marie. And who was that that came in with Joan Marie?
Joy M.B. in California.
Joy M.B. in California. Thank you.
Monica.
Monica D. in Washington.
Monica, which Monica? Hold on 1 second. Which Monica, please?
Monica D.
Arizona. D, talking very quietly. So, and then, okay, after Monica, who's coming in?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Darcy A.
Yes. Okay. Okay, let me finish with Monica. Monica, if you can turn your volume up. And where are you calling from, please?
I'm sorry. I'm calling from Arizona.
Okay, great. And then who's coming in with Monica?
Darcy A. in Washington.
RCA in Washington. All right, let me read to you who I have. I have Lucia B. in Long Island, Regina V. in California, Dolores T. in Arizona, Joan Marie in Las Vegas, Joy M. B. in California, Monica B. in Arizona, and if I got this right, Darcy A. in Washington. Anybody
Jordan.
Else before? Jordan, good morning. Jordan, I know where you are. All right, let's go with this lineup for now. And Lucia, please join us and share. Thank you.
Hi, Lucia, compulsive eater.
constrictor. So this paragraph and, you know, this reading just in general, like, you know, I had a really super, you know, confusing upbringing with religion. I actually was rather turned off from religion. You know, I live with an aunt who would like throw herself on the floor, you know, from claiming that like God was healing her. You know, she was having these religious healings. So like, I think I just like had this feeling inside of me of like, I just like didn't know. It's just kind of like I put it in this box, you know, like I didn't have anger or like feeling like I knew better than God or that like he definitely didn't exist, but I was just like really confused and kind of like sad, you know? And, you know, through the years and through my own experience, like I developed this feeling, this internal feeling that like I would get this overwhelming sense that there was this light that was coming through me. Everything that I had that was coming through me, it wasn't just mine. You know, it was like I was having these experiences, all these beautiful things that I had in my life, like they were through something other than me, you know? And I guess it's like, you know, I grew up with very black and white thinking. And like coming into the program, a lot of that started to shift, you know? And, you know, when it says rather vain of us, you know, it reminded me of love, like came for the vanity, like stayed for the sanity. But like, and also it's like we created a God of our understanding. Like I was like really turned off like when I first came in and it talked a lot about God and, you know, I just like really had a bad taste in my mouth. I literally had a taste in my mouth because of it, you know? And all I can say is I had one of the worst days in my life yesterday since coming. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you, Lucia, so much. That was Lucia B in Long Island. Next, we have Regina V in California. Good morning, Regina.
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina from California. I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Very grateful to be here. I haven't been here in like 2 weeks, so I'm super excited that I made it. So what this says to me, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? Well, you know, I grew up in a very strict religion, but I remember that at 13 years old, I lost my faith in God completely, and I would identify as an atheist. I didn't, you know, for many, many years, I didn't believe in God, right? So, well, if you don't believe in God, who do you believe in? Myself? Like, you know, I'm the one doing everything. And I remember I was going through a really difficult time in my relationship with my husband. We weren't married at the time. But he went into a Christian church, and you know, I followed him, and we were in there for a while. And it doesn't mean that I believed in God or that or anything like that, but I was just doing it for him, and it was nice. But I'll always remember this woman who had an incredible voice, and she was singing, and she was part of the congregation. And I said something like, oh my gosh, you have such an amazing voice. And she said, it's all God's, you know, it's God's gift, or, you know, thanks be to God or something like that. But she was giving credit to God. And I thought, what a ridiculous idea. What a ridiculous. I mean, that's where my brain was. And it bothered me. Like, it's your voice. God, you know, God has nothing to do with it. It's your goddamn voice, you know. Why are you giving credit to God? I mean, that's where I was. That's where my mind was. And when I entered 12-step, you know, food programs, because I belonged to a different one before I joined OA, I couldn't enlarge my spiritual life because there was no way I could, you know, step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. How could I do that, you know? It was just a foreign concept, and I did not understand. And now that I come to... Oh, is that time?
Yes, please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Regina V. in California. Next, we're going to Arizona. Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. Susan, thanks for your service always. You're popping up with service everywhere. I'm really grateful to be here. I think the word intelligent really hits me because I always, you know, I always thought of myself as intelligent, but my life was totally messed up. So I don't know that the intelligence really helped me, but it did make me vain. It did make me vain in terms of thinking that I could run my life. And I also am a big planner. So even when I first came in the program, I remember I did step three and I had planned my whole life out. And then all of a sudden, everything fell apart. And that was when I realized, you know, I was not in charge. And I just totally let go and did step three. But, you know, living that, you know, God is our master, and, you know, we're spirits of God's creation. Living that is really what I am trying to do. And I'm not saying it's hard, but I, you know, someone said before, how do we do that? You know, for me, I pray in the morning, but I still have my plan, you know, and the 11 steps says, show me all through the day what my next step is to be. And I think how I want to try to live it, and how I try to live it is thinking, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life, not everyone else's life? You know, that's also part of step three. And, you know, I was praying the other day, and I'm worried about my son. I'm worried about this. And I was doing my meditation, and God just said, look at me. You know, God's messages are often very simple. It was just that, just keep your eyes on me. You know, and I think often of my first sponsor taught me in step three, it says we had to quit playing God. And, you know, he was the father, we are his children. And whenever I did step three with my first sponsor, it was, you need to quit playing God. So whenever I played God, I said to myself, okay, quit, quitting. You know, and so I try to remember that today, but it is something that I really work on practicing. I think asking God, sometimes I don't want to ask God, what do you want me to do today? Because I have my plan. But I that's really where I want to be at, is God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to serve today? And that's something I could do, is just ask God as I go through the day. Even if I have my plan, how do I execute my plan? How do I deal with people during the day? So anyway, that's all I have to say this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores T. in Arizona. Next, we're going to Las Vegas. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Susan. What a beautiful day it is in Las Vegas. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Susan. Okay, there was so much in this little paragraph, as usual, but what stood out to me was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that totally describes God. And through the whole book, it says, may you find him now. There's just so much reference to a power greater than ourselves called God. And when I came in, my description of God was totally different. I really don't like the word religion, because for me, it's a very personal relationship with the creator of the universe. And as I, it says more will be revealed. So we start out at a point, and then we just evolve, I guess the word would be. And it's all about being a better person and helping other people come to believe in a power greater than ourselves. It's a beautiful program. It teaches us how to live life on life's terms, on God's terms. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie. And as a reminder, please stay muted until I call on you. And when you finish sharing, please press star one again, and it will say that you are muted. Thank you for that. Next, we have Joy MB in California. Good morning, Joy.
For your service. Thank you. I'm very grateful for your service and for this meeting and for all the fellows on whose shares and thoughts and advice I have certainly, not necessarily advice, but insights have certainly helped me to come to my recovery. I'm a recovering overeater in California, definitely a sugar addict. One of the things I've had to really delve into and be aware of is the set-aside prayer. I've had to set aside all of my thoughts because, as you know, an intellectual with two doctorates and whatnot, you think to yourself, how vain is this? That is a God-given gift, not one that I sought after and brought to myself. And yet, there was a time when I used it to give advice to others, like to my adult children, to other adults around me. And when I was a little girl, I was a very bright little girl. And church people offered my grandmother and my mother pounds of bacon and chicken and dozens of eggs or whatever. Let this little girl read for us, because I would walk up to people and put my hands on their flat tummies and say, well, there's a little girl in there, whatever. And my grandmother told me immediately, she said, you know what? There is only one God. And that God, that higher power, is not you. And I've had to recall that many times. We are God's agents. And certainly in this program, this design for a living that we get in the steps is the most incredible design ever, because it teaches us where our higher power is and how we must relate to him, not as a punisher, not as the one who will take things away, give things, but as a higher power, someone loving us, an entity that is so much more intellectual, braver, sharper than we could ever be, but is the power who will enable us to act as agents. And so with this, I am so grateful for this program, for the fellows in it, with the wisdom that helps me move from day to day. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy MB in California. Next, we have Monica B in Arizona. Go ahead, Monica. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. This is Monica B, Arizona, compulsive overeater. I don't usually take the opportunity to share, but I know that's part of my service. And I appreciate all those who do service for this meeting. What really stuck out to me in this reading was the line, "We agnostics and atheists choose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word." And I really, really saw and focused on that word choose. And I had to really reflect on that for a minute and think, did I have a choice? Did I really have a choice to choose between my will and God's will? And the answer is no, because I came in agnostic. And agnostic to me, the way I understand it to me, really relates to or equates to one who does not know. And that is how that was me. I did not know. I knew there was a God. I just didn't have the ability to plug in or connect to that God. I could see God working in other people. I could hear them working in other people from what they were sharing, but I could not, I had no way of connecting to that power. And it wasn't until I finally admitted that I am powerless, that I had lost my choice, the power of choice in my alcoholic foods, that I actually started. It was the beginning for me. And to work, you know, and then through working steps designed in this book with a sponsor and taking actions that I didn't quite understand, and, you know, that are contrary to how I feel sometimes. It wasn't until I started doing those things that I started to feel this presence, you know, and connect into this power. And then I understand today what that means. I have a choice. You know, if I'm willing to take actions, if I'm willing to do the things I'm not always comfortable with, and that means sharing at meetings sometimes, or, you know, making outreach calls or doing 10 steps. If I'm willing to do those things, I can feel the presence of my higher power, and I came to believe. It is a very powerful program. It is so much more than about food. You know, food is just a symptom. So I am grateful to all of you who have shown me the way, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Monica. Next, we have Darcy A. in, I think, Washington State. Darcy, go ahead and correct me if I gave the wrong state.
Darcy A. in Washington, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I think you got it right. I was unmuting when you said the state. So thank you so much for your service. And oh my gosh, what a good meeting. At first I was like, oh no, what do I have to say about this? My sponsor wants me to keep sharing so I can be more used to it and more comfortable. But I'm recently recovered, and what jumped out at me was rather vain of us, wasn't it? I looked up the word vain just now, and there's two definitions, and one is like the one I knew, which is craving admiration of others and obsessed with appearances, abilities, or status. And I can really relate to that. You know, when I'm in the food, and even now, I can be obsessed with the way I look, my weight, what people think of me. I'm obsessed with praise because I feel so bad inside that I want others to praise me, and my sense of okayness comes from outside of myself. And then the other vein is futile, pointless, or unsuccessful, and produced no results and was completely pointless. And I really relate to that too, when I'm putting myself first and not checking in with my higher power in the morning and really living this life in 10, 11, and 12, and putting God first, and, you know, in the morning asking what God's will for me is and what God wants me to do, it's pointless. And I think they meant the first vein when they wrote it in the book, but I thought it was interesting to think of the other vein for me. You know, the merciless obsession with the food. I mean, I ate myself up to 240 pounds, and today I'm half of that. And, you know, that's a gift of trying to put God first every day and asking what God's will for me is. And, you know, even though I believed in God, I was living as an atheist and an agnostic, because I was trying to run the show. And my voice is shaking. And I think that's all I have to say. It's just that I really want to, in the morning, ask my higher power what God's will for me is and how I can be of service today. And I like living that way, you know, I'm not the alpha and the omega. So I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. All right. Next up, we have Jordan L. in Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado.
And I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. And I was just kind of like sitting here thinking about these paragraphs. I've been practicing the 12 steps for a little while now. You know what I've really come to appreciate? I have really come to appreciate those words in step two, came to believe. And I guess the reason that I am so appreciative of those words today is that it really has been a process. like when I look back at what recovery has looked like over a number of years, it really has been a process of coming to believe in this power greater than myself, of coming to have faith in this power greater than myself, of coming to have a relationship with this power greater than myself. It hasn't been an overnight matter for me. And I think it's really important to share that, especially when, I don't know, I think sometimes early on in recovery, it's just hard to, obviously, it's hard to conceptualize of something that that we were not familiar with, you know? Like, I didn't have that when I got here, a familiarity with God, you know? And so it was really hard to talk about. It was really hard to try to form that. And I think that is what is so wonderful about the 12 steps is that we get to begin with wherever it is that we're at, you know? I know for me, I actually did the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous after I had been in recovery in another 12-step program for a number of years. And so I really had to begin with where I was at. And where I was at was understanding that I'll wrap it up. Even with some 12-step recovery under my belt, I couldn't always trust my thinking, you know? And so getting to a point where I can say, I can't trust my thinking, that's okay. I'm going to work the 12 steps and get to a better place. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. in Colorado. Okay, we probably have time for two more people. So if you've been holding out, now is the time.
Paley, yeah, L. This is Trudy B.
Larry G.
Somebody, okay, hold on. Somebody with a P.
Paley L. in California.
Okay.
Trudy B. will be from Maryland.
Okay. Sorry, Larry. I don't think we'll have time. Let's go to Paley first. Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Susan. Thanks, everyone, for your service on this meeting. Oh, this paragraph is just so beautifully timed. I love, and thank you to the fellow who went through the definition of vanity, because I also looked it up. And yeah, this week I had a moment of really seeing my body allergy activated with my vanity. And what this paragraph, it really highlights is, for me in this moment, is just how... yeah, just the playing God that we can begin to recognize, and how I truly thought that my intelligence was the last word. And when I was in my disease, I would do all these things after I took off on my spiritual rocket ship, like, you know, make vision boards and imagine the future and plan all these things and manifest and law of attraction and whatever. And in all of these ways, I was scripting and telling God, I was placing my order with the universe and just being like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And then when that thing would happen, because sometimes it would, and that's where it was especially enticing, I would get so high I would get so high off of it. And so this week, my team at work, we had new headshots, and I got to update our website, which before had photos that were not matching. And I could feel my body allergy incredibly activated. My addict was tempted, and I could just feel it in my body as I was updating this website with photos that matched. And this is my anorexia and my perfectionism and all of that. And I could just so clearly feel how my addict gets off on things looking a particular way that is my way. And instead of feeding that and indulging, I was able to notice it, notice the allergy, and not entertain my addict self, and instead turn towards being of service. And that's the miracle of recovery for me and the miracle of this program. Oh, I don't think I introduced myself. My name is Paling. I'm gratefully recovered in California, and I'm just truly grateful to be here. And what a relief that I'm not God. What a relief that it is not my job to run the show. And that sign of, you know, being an agent of God, what helps me is remembering and checking in each day. Am I taking direction or am I giving it? Am I listening or am I telling God what I think should be happening? And the willingness to have a fresh experience every single moment, including this one. So thank you all so much. So grateful to be in this fellowship. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And next we have Judy B. Judy, let us know where you're calling from, and I may have to interrupt you before 3 minutes, as now we're running out of time. Go ahead, Judy.
That's okay. Good morning, and thank you for your service. And I'm Trudy with the T, B for Merlin. I am so grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic. I tell you, I love the reading. You know, because I keep on, you know, having to be reminded that, you know, that saying, large and in charge. I might have been large or might be large, but I've never been in charge. You know, God is the boss, my manager, and that's who I have to look forward to. If I had to run this universe, I can barely keep my house in order. If I had to run the universe, I'd be... I don't know where y'all be hanging on the outside somewhere. I don't even know, because I have no idea how it works. So I have to always keep foremost and in mind God is in charge. He's a charge of me, and this is a charge of the world, and I don't run anything. I barely know anything. So I have to keep that respect. But I understand why I was sitting here, why I was so messed up, coming from the type of childhood I had. Every Sunday, my parents would turn on the gospel music, and the church would, the house would be full of it. Pull out the church clothes, and then we go to church, and then all hell would break loose from Monday through Saturday with both of my parents.
Sorry,
you know,
that's
having,
time, Trudy.
Thank you, and I will pass. And thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you. Sorry, everyone. We have to keep it moving here. Thank you to Team Thursday. We will now close, with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please take us home with a vision for you?
Thank you, Suzanne. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we melt when we little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.